Hello, brothers and sisters. Welcome to Food for the Journey. Today, I said the other day that Advent is my favorite season of the year. Well, it's from the 17th to the 24th is probably my favorite week of the year. I suppose Easter has a comparable position, but for the moment, it is my favorite week of the year. And it's that because from December 17th to the 24th, we have the ancient, they're called the O, and it's simply an O, O antiphons. They are some of the earliest prayers of the church as a people anticipating the coming of the Messiah. And I want to take a look at the O antiphon. That's how they're referred to. Each day they call on some name of God, something that characterizes who God in Christ is. And the O antiphon for today, the first day of those antiphons, is this: O wisdom, coming forth the mouth of the Most High, reaching from end to end, mightily and sweetly ordering all things, come and teach us the way of prudence. Prudence, a gift that comes with wisdom. Prudence is where you look at a situation, and instead of rashly and quickly making decisions, you ponder, you reflect, you pray, you might get advice, and then you make a decision. And people say that's a prudent decision. That's a wise decision. You really took time to see what was most important. You didn't make a decision just on a whim or on your own personal like or dislike, especially because a lot of our actions and our decisions affect others. So it's interesting that when we pray the great title of God, wisdom, the wisdom of the Most High God, what we're praying for is prudence, that we may have the way of prudence. That is, that we may learn from the wisdom of God and prudent and wise decisions in our own daily lives. Ask him for it. Ask him, pray it, O wisdom, coming forth from the mouth of the Most High, reaching from end to end, mightily and sweetly ordering all things, come and teach us the way of prudence. We need the wisdom of God to have prudence, so let's pray for it. It's one of the great titles of God, of the Messiah. The first reading today is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 49, verse 2, and then verses 8 to 10. Jacob called his sons and said to them, "Assemble and listen, sons of Jacob, listen to Israel, your father. You, Judah, shall your brothers praise, your hand on the neck of your enemies. The sons of your father shall bow down to you. Judah, like a lion's whelp, you have grown up on prey, my son. He crouches like a lion recumbent, the king of beasts. Who would dare rouse him? The scepter shall never depart from Judah, or the mace from between his legs, while tribute is brought to him, and he receives the people's homage." In prophetic language, it was a prophecy speaking of what the coming Messiah would be like. One who came from this line of people, what he would be like. And it says, the scepter shall never depart, or the mace from between his legs. Instruments of power, authority. Tribute is brought to him, and he receives the people's homage. These were prophecies that had to be discerned over thousands of years, and putting them together, they began to believe in a Messiah. It's just that when the Messiah came, he didn't come the way that people expected. They thought he would come with great power and majesty, with many armies, and that he would crush his enemies and crush the enemies of the Jews. They had it all wrong. How did he come? As a helpless baby. What do you think he's teaching us by doing that? He could have exercised all his power and authority and smashed the earth to smithereens. He could, with one glance, he could have done that. But he came a poor, simple, helpless baby. And he grew in wisdom and age and grace just as all of us do. He was like us in all things but sin. You have to adjust your glasses, you know. You have to get the right prescription so you can see clearly, because it can be very confusing. But for the Jews, they had read, they had passed on the so much of the Old Testament down through generation after generation. So when the Messiah finally did come, then they began to wake up, oh, he's the fulfillment of this or of that. Then other people would discredit that and say, no, it isn't true. And there was all kinds of division because people had their own glasses on rather than the Lord's perspective. They had their own human glasses on. And we too have to be careful. Put on the glasses of faith. Read carefully and open your heart to God teaching you, because he will teach you. Psalm 72, justice shall flourish in his time and fullness of peace forever. That was the promise, that when the Messiah comes, there would be peace. He did bring peace, not the sword. We decided to bring the sword. The Messiah offers peace. Follow me. Follow me. Didn't say follow yourself. He said follow me. He didn't say follow your friends. He said follow me. That's what we have to decide to do. O God, with your judgment, endow the king with your justice, the king's son. He shall govern your people with justice and your afflicted ones with judgment. The mountains shall yield peace for the people and the hills justice. He shall defend the afflicted. He shall save the children of the poor. Justice shall flower in his days and profound peace till the moon be no more. There was so much injustice, so much crime. Jesus came to bring peace. And he came for the poor and the lowly. He didn't come as a conquering king in the sense of taking land and property. He came to conquer hearts. Is your heart been conquered by the Lord? May his name be blessed forever. So long as the Son, his name shall remain. In him shall all the tribes of the earth be blessed. All the nations shall proclaim his happiness. That's what God wants. Do you in your life, and you know, you could even take a look and say, what do I do during this Christmas season to help extend the kingdom of God in my own life, the life of my family, life of my neighborhood? What am I doing to foster the kingdom of God? It's a very, very good question to ask yourself during Advent. In the Gospel of Matthew, I'm not going to read it today. This is the genealogy. Abraham became the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. This is the genealogy which tells that Jesus was born in a particular time, historical place, time on this earth, and that his line could be traced back generation after generation after generation. That what Matthew is doing is positioning Christ in the middle of history, when he was born, how he was born, what his circumstances were, who were his relatives, what period of history, that he actually, the Word actually became flesh at a particular time, in a particular day, in a particular country, in a particular season of the year. He came for all of us, for all of us. I want to end this program by just reading a short meditation from Carol Houselander. She was a British poet, a spiritual teacher, died in the 1950s. And Carol Houselander has written some beautiful, beautiful material. I would recommend Meditations for Lent, her Meditations on the Cross. Carol, C-A-R-Y-L-L, Carol Houselander. Listen to this. And this is tying in with this gospel of the genealogy. It is not only in work, in the realization of faith, and in conscious prayer that we need the season of Advent. We need it in suffering, in joy, and in thought. We need it in everything that is to bear fruit in our lives. People sometimes get disheartened because they have read that suffering ennobles, and they have met people who seem to have come out of the crucible like pure silver, made beautiful by suffering. But it seems to them that in their own case, it is quite the opposite. Does that sound familiar to you? They find that however hard they try not to be, they are irritable. That astonishing stabs of bitterness afflict them. That far from being sympathetic, more understanding, there's a numbness, even a chill on their emotions when they're suffering. They can't respond to others at all. They seem not to love anyone anymore. They even shrink from and dread the very presence of those who are compassionate and who care for them. You know how it is when we're really suffering. Just get out. Just let me alone. That often is the response, or the reaction, I should say. Carol goes on to say, they say that in their case, suffering is certainly a failure. The truth is, listen to this, as this is real wisdom, especially during Advent. The truth is that they are too impatient to wait for the season of Advent in sorrow to run its course. A seed contains all the life and all the loveliness of the flower, but it contains it in a little dark, hard, black pip of a thing, which even the glorious sun will not enliven unless it is buried under the earth. Hear this sentence. There must be a period of gestation before anything can flower. If only those who suffer would be patient with their early humiliations and realize that Advent is not only the time of growth, but also of darkness and hiding and waiting. They would trust, and trust rightly, that Christ is growing in their sorrow. And in due season, all the fret and strain and tension of it will give place to a splendor of peace. Brothers and sisters, many of you listening to this program are going through an Advent perhaps of great sorrow and great pain. I would invite all of us to pray for those who are suffering, especially right now. And what Carol Houselander is saying is that God can bear tremendous fruit out of that suffering if you're willing to stay there. Don't try to run away from it. You can distract yourself every once in a while. You have to. But not to run from it, but to open your heart. Because she says, Advent is not only the time of growth, but also of darkness and hiding and waiting. And she says, right in the midst of that, trust him. Because Christ is growing in you. And in due season, all the fret and strain and tension of it will give place to a splendor of peace. Trust God and his work in your life right now. God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.